Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 37. Reap. Not even the forces of Clan Pharos could have eyes everywhere, and that network of vision that had once seemed so impenetrable was thinning every day. The more she and Jace, along with whatever disaffected former counselors were acting as Pretty Boy's benefactor, continued their investigation, the more tenuous Camille's grasp on the city really seemed. It was still cast iron without a doubt, but it wasn't airtight. Camille Pharos was neither omnipotent nor omniscient. Her intelligence network was stretched perilously thin, trying to keep abreast of the different brushfire offensives launched by Zaun, so much so that she was forced to rely more and more on the military police to handle Piltover. For whatever reason, it seemed that Camille had elected to trust Caitlin, despite the fact that Caitlin had made her poor opinion of the clan's operations and doctrine no secret. She regularly criticized the clan for its draconian policies, even as she was forced to enact them, and Vi could see it wearing on her day in and day out. Just a couple of days prior, she had been forced to break a riot in the northern districts where the quarantine had been expanded, and Vi had never seen her look so downtrodden. That was why Vi was pushing herself so hard as she moved across the spires and rooftops of Piltover like a wraith. It had taken a lot of time and effort, but Caitlin had recently found the answer to the question that had been scraping the back quarters of Vi's mind ever since she'd witnessed Camille drag her red-headed pet psychopath out alive from the chasms of Zaun. It was a hunch based on absolutely nothing but gut instinct, but Vi had long ago learned to trust her gut. The person she was looking for had been quite literally buried by Piltover, and for very good reason. In fact, Caitlin and Vi had a hand in making that happen, and it was one of the things that Vi was most proud of. It had been a victory against an unequivocal evil, with no shades of gray, and that was a rare thing in her line of work. Now, though, Vi's gut was telling her something terrible was happening under the skin of Piltover that neither she nor her wife had predicted. Something perpetrated by Clan Pharos using a resource that nobody ought to have made use of. The coordinates that Caitlin had dug up and surreptitiously passed on to Vi so she could verify it with Jace and his own contacts put the target almost a quarter mile below the northern districts, right in the heart of the quarantine. It made a sick kind of sense, after all. If Camille didn't want something to be found, then what better place to hide it than in the middle of an active plague zone? Fortunately, Vi was well acquainted with avoiding plague. Disease was a fact of life in Zaun, and she still had her mask and gear from the Undercity. Vi fairly flew across the rooftops, silent and quick, and it turned her stomach to see the ruin around her. The MPs didn't venture into the deep parts of the quarantine zones, much like how the Enforcers had avoided the depths of Zaun. It was clear in this place that the better nature of Piltovans had only ever been a thin facade. Everywhere she looked, there were burnt-out husks of buildings and homes, shattered windows, and looted storefronts. There wasn't a single inch of the inner wards that weren't touched by ruin. Clan patrols, the MPs, and the Demacians did their best, but Piltover was a big city, and it was built vertically. It just wasn't possible to cover everything. Whole areas had basically been written off, and those areas were starting to look a lot like Zaun. Vi landed on the roof of a smoldering emporium and looked down at the wrecked streets in disgust. "So much for progress," she grumbled. "Wonder if these folks have ever heard of irony." Probably not. Self-awareness was not among the average Piltovan's set of virtues. The emporium was her target, though, and she slipped in through a shattered window on the topmost floor. Where once there must have been racks of clothes and shelves of trinkets, there was nothing but wreck and ruin. The place had clearly been looted to within an inch of its life, but Vi kept low and slipped between the shelves as if it were a guarded complex all the same. Level by level, she descended through the skeletal edifice to Piltover's golden ideal. Once the place had bustled with people. Men, women, and children had browsed its halls, patronized its eateries, and it all must have seemed so civilized. which made it kind of funny, in a morbid sort of way, how little time it took for the topsiders to go fucking feral. By the time Vi got to the ground floor of the Emporium, she was feeling antsy. She hadn't seen any clan guards, which in itself wasn't unnerving. What was unnerving was the lack of squatters. With the weather turning outside, a multi-level structure with plenty of space and lots of little nooks and crannies to squirrel away into ought to have been a warren for the people forced to flee from burned and looted homes. Instead, she was met with dead silence every step of the way. If there was one good thing that Vi had learned on the streets of Zaun, it was that if the street folks avoided a building like this, then they were doing it for a good god's damned reason. Her fists felt more bare and naked than ever as she slunk through the shadows. She had left her Atlas gauntlets at home. They were big and clunky, but more importantly, they would give her away instantly if she got into a fight. Even if she escaped untouched, it wouldn't take a genius detective to figure out who left the huge, fist-shaped imprints in the walls and security bots. Instead, Vi had to go back to her roots, bring a knife to a gunfight, come in low and to the side. Down into the bowels of the building she went, deep enough to be brushing the edges of Zaun. Vi could practically feel the chemical heat of the Undercity as she moved into the service tunnels that spiderwebbed through the Emporium's sublevels. Places like this would eventually link into Zaun if the Council hadn't gone to great lengths to collapse or otherwise seal up all the connecting tunnels. The ones that it was possible to safely demolish had been, but the rest had been sealed behind a dozen foot-thick steel bulkheads each, along with the requisite traps in case any enterprising scrappers came sniffing. Again, Vi couldn't help but note how comically far Piltovans went to distance themselves from Zaun, only to prove that they were absolutely no fucking different the moment shit went sideways. They destroyed or cauterized every physical linkage to the place, as if they were ashamed of what they knew they had done. The halls at the lowest levels were all stone, cut deep into the cliff itself, and wired through with hextech lights that washed everything in a dull red of emergency lighting. Every footstep and scuff Vi made put a shiver down her spine as she pressed onward and downward. Funnily enough, she almost felt at home in the tight, cramped tunnels. If only they weren't so clean and neatly kept and obviously pilty. It wasn't until four sublevels down that Vi encountered her first sign that she was on the right track. A pair of clan guards were patrolling, and Vi kept herself snug and tucked away amidst a nest of pipes as she waited for them to pass. That wasn't suspicious as fuck or anything. Why leave everything above ground completely bare and abandoned, but station patrols four levels down? It didn't make sense unless Camille was really doubling down on that stealth aspect. If you're going to hide something, after all, you don't put up barbed wire and a dozen turrets around it. Keeping low, Vi waited for the guards to get a fair distance away before slipping back into the hall and continuing on. As she did, she forced herself to make peace with the fact that she might be leaving the place shy a few cadre. She barely made it halfway to the next hall before voices crept up from behind her, echoing strangely through the tunnels. Gritting her teeth and biting back a curse, Vi slunk forward until she found another knot of pipes, ducked them, and squeezed herself between several of them. They were uncomfortably hot and pulsated with whatever chemicals ran through them, and sweat poured down her face and back as Vi flattened herself into the shadows.
"Promise me this wouldn't last, but what she is asking of us is an abomination."
A man's voice filtered down. A woman answered, her voice harsh and clipped with Damasian tones.
"I don't understand half of what you do down here, Dr. Ravak," she said. "But if whatever you're doing can stave the plague off from my men, then you have my permission to abominate however you need to."
"It's not a matter of staving off the plague, Marshal."
They came into view as he said those words, and Vi's eyes widened.
"It's a matter," he continued, "of ignoring it."
She recognized the man and the woman. The man was Corin Revik, father of the former champion Orianna,
but he was supposed to have an expatriate living in Zaun. As for the woman, the new High Marshal of Demacia and the main liaison between the throne and Piltover, Cythria the Bold, walked alongside Corin Revic.
"I told you," she replied thinly, "I don't care.
Whatever it takes to get my men out of the sick beds, back onto the front, and into Zaun." Corin shook his head as they passed Vi's hiding place.
"You don't understand what Camille is asking of you, Marshal. The things she wants me to do to them, they won't really even be human anymore."
Cythria came to a hard stop a few feet away, turned on Corin, seized him by the collar, and slammed him into the wall.
"Look me in the eye and ask me if I care," she hissed.
And although her back was to Vi, the timbre of her voice said it all.
"I will make any sacrifice and commit any sin to get into that rancid cesspit you call Zaun and drag that lying, barbarous, blonde traitor out by her hair to face judgment for what she did."
Vi had never heard the redoubtable Cythria sound so insane with anger. All of her interactions with the woman had given Vi the impression of someone young but eminently capable. She'd even reminded Vi of Caitlin a little bit. Not so much as that moment as her vitriol-laced voice echoed down the hall for several yards before she dropped Corin back to his feet. The old doctor massaged his throat for a moment before looking up at her, not with anger but with sympathy.
"It's true, isn't it? What they say about you and the late Marshal Crowngard," he ventured gently.
A choking sound came from Cythria, and her shoulders hunched inward in grief for a moment before she visibly forced herself to relax.
"And if it is," Cythria replied tightly, "what does it matter to you?"
Corin reached out and laid a hand on her armored forearm.
"Only that I know better than anyone what lengths one might go to in order to preserve love."
Silence answered him for a moment until, faintly, Cythria said, "We had to hide our relationship due to the fraternization doctrines," in a choked voice. "But once I was established and out from under Tia's direct command, we were going to be wed."
"I'm so sorry," Corin said softly.
Swatting his hand away, Cythria scoffed and replied, "But now there's nothing to preserve. Thanks to that traitor, she's dead and gone. All I can do now is avenge her, and that is exactly what I intend to do, Dr. Revic. So take as many of my sick men as you need to complete your experiments, and then get me into that city." Corin pressed his lips to a thin, hard line, then sighed and said,
"As you say, Marshal."
Vi didn't breathe until they were well out of earshot. And when she did, she slumped backward as despair crept into her heart. The Demacians knew. Or at least, their leadership knew. Cythria, at least, but probably the Demacian throne. Either that or the king didn't care to ask. "Ask me no questions and I'll tell you no lies." Jarvan clearly wanted Lux brought to justice, and he obviously didn't much care for how that was achieved. That explained why he sent Cythria. That was something Vi had worried about. There had to have been more senior officers to make Marshal. Cythria was absolutely qualified, but seniority meant something. But if you wanted something done, regardless of the means by which it was accomplished, then your best bet was to send to someone who had a grudge. Cythria's young, flexible mind, combined with her raw hate, allowed her to conscience actions that no other Demacian commander would have accepted. Moving out from between the pipes, Vi continued on with a sick feeling in her stomach. A part of her and Caitlin had been hoping that if they could just find the proof, then the Demacian commander might well have been on their side. That hope just got throttled in the crib, though. Even if the rank and file didn't know, they were good soldiers who took orders with the kind of discipline that the cadre could only aspire to. It seemed as though their little resistance was on its own. Staying in the shadow of their footsteps, Vi followed Corin and Cythria through the complex.
She didn't have to wait long either. They came to a door halfway down a hall. There was a single cadre guard standing at attention, and Corin spoke to them briefly before the guard turned to the door, unlocked it, and let the pair in. That clinched it. Vi needed inside that room. But there was no way to approach without the guard seeing her, and they didn't seem keen on wandering about. Not only that, but she had no way of knowing how long Cythria and Corin would be inside, so if she was going to make a move, it had to be immediate, and a plan formed in her mind. A bad plan, but it was better than no plan. She sure as the fucking void wasn't going home empty-handed after coming all the way down here. Reaching into her pocket, she drew out a ball bearing and rolled it between her fingers, hoping that this oldest of gutter snipe distractions would work. Steadying her breath, Vi snapped her wrist around the corner and sent the ball soaring silently over the cadreman's head to clatter several yards down the hall. And like any good soldier, their head and their attention snapped towards it. The moment they moved, so did Vi. She bolted down the hall, her feet barely making any sound until it was far too late for the cadreman to do a damn thing about it. In an instant, she had them in a headlock with her arm cutting off his airflow. Adjusting her grip, Vi muttered a quick apology, then twisted hard. The sound of the cadre's neck snapping was muffled by their armor, but she had no time to lose on feeling sorry for them or for herself. Vi dragged them out and around the corner, divested them of their armor and pulled it on. Fortunately, they were about the same height. The man, a young man, Vi saw with a twist of regret, had a build that was a bit slighter than hers, so everything was a little tight. But it all fit fine enough. Shoving her clothes and the cadreman's body into the shadows of a pipe alcove, Vi fit the helm and rebreather mask over her face, took up a position at the door, and tried very hard not to think about the fact that she was breathing a dead man's air. As it happened, she needn't have been in such a hurry because Corin and Cythria stayed in the room for a fucking hour. By the time they emerged, Vi had just started to wonder if maybe there was another exit from inside and they had left without her noticing, but no. "Decision hasn't changed, Dr. Ravik," Cythria was saying as she opened the door and stepped out. "I don't like it. But I won't shed tears over that thing being put to some use either." Ravik followed her, looking disappointed. "I had hoped you would reconsider after seeing the truth, but I suppose you already had your mind made up." "With all due respect," Cythria said in a voice that suggested anything but respect. "Kultovans may have weak stomachs about this sort of thing, but Demacians do not. We know war. And we have no illusions of sacredness. Do what you have to, Doctor, and I will do the same." "But your men..." "My men and yours," Cythria said, "are dying of a Zonite plague. And if you can fix that using that thing..." She gestured to the door as it closed. "Then by all means you have my blessing." "Very well," Corin said. "I suppose I've done all I can to dissuade you." "Your intent is noble, but your sympathies are misplaced, Doctor," Cythria said.
"As you say,"
Corin replied before looking over to Vi and saying,
"Lock up behind us, will you?"
Vi gave a stiff nod, and that was apparently enough for Corin, and Cythria didn't even spare her a glance. Vi waited for them to disappear down the hall and around the corner, then waited another 10 minutes to make sure nothing and no one else was coming back, before turning to the door and pushing it quietly open. The sound of humming capacitors filled the room, and even Vi's rebreather couldn't hedge out the smell of gore and spoiled meat. Vi's gorge rose as she stepped out of the clinically red-washed halls of the sublevel and into a slaughterhouse. 12 slabs were arranged in 2 rows of 6, and above each slab, wired up into the ceiling, was a mechanical, arachnoid thing, whose metal legs each ended with some kind of surgical instrument. The slabs were empty, but they were plenty enough stained that Vi didn't have to try hard to guess at their purpose. None of that was what really drew Vi's attention, though. It was the thing at the head of the room, that really twisted her gut into knots. An enormous crystal cylinder several feet across and filled with some kind of greenish suspension dominated the far end of the Chamber of Horrors. Vi approached the tube and pressed a hand to it as she stared into the miserable figure within. It was less than half a man, but his stature suggested that he was once mighty. His single arm was scarred and bulky with slab-like muscle that stretched his corpse-pale skin taut, and his thick-browed face was half-covered by a tube-filled rebreather. His eyes, though, were still horribly alive. "It is you," Vi said quietly. Inside the tube, the figure twitched, then looked up.
"Another topsider come to gawk at me,"
Urgot growled through the mechanical transceiver.
"Go ahead, stare. I will not give you the pleasure of pleading or screaming. I never have, and I never will."
Reaching up, Vi pulled off her helm and mask and bared her face to the dreadnought of Zaun. Once a mighty Noxian executioner, he had been betrayed 100 times over and left to rot in a Zaunite penal mine. No one had ever endured the kind of heavy, brute modifications to their body that Urgot had. He was more machine than man by a long shot, and virtually unkillable.
"You..."
Urgot's eyes narrowed.
"Have you come to laugh? To witness my final humiliation, you are the pale imitation of an enforcer."
"What are they doing to you?" Vi asked in a hard voice. Urgot's laugh was a harsh, flanged noise that grated on Vi's ears as he said,
"They're studying me. They are learning strength from my pain, learning how to endure. They take the lessons carved into my flesh and apply them to the flesh of their weaklings with mixed results."
"Why?" Vi bit out.
"Because Piltover is a parasite,"
Urgot replied.
"They only take, they do not give nor build, and they do not understand strength, so they must fling it out of those who do, and then graft it to those who do not."
"The blackguards!" Vi slammed her fist against the tube. "They're using your chemtech to make the blackguards, aren't they? They're fucking pulling you apart and figuring out how you survived and..." More laughter grated as Urgot said.
"And what did you expect? Some baseline nobility? There is only weakness in most of them. I watched from this place as they grafted and fused and augmented. I watched hundreds of them go insane or die screaming as their bodies rejected the implants they built by studying my body. That man, Corin Revic, changed things a bit. He was wiser than most, but it wasn't enough."
Stepping back, Vi turned to look out over the slabs, and her stomach violently rebelled as she fell to her knees and tried not to vomit. Urgot laughed behind her, his voice scraping across her mind.
"Weak. You're all weak. Beneath those gloves you are broken, Violet."
"Shut up!" Vi spat as she forced herself back to her feet and turned on him. "You fuck! Look what he did to you!" She thumped her fist against the glass again. "You're a fucking bastard, Urgot! But even you didn't deserve this!"
"There is no such thing,"
Urgot replied. No such thing as what?"
"Deserves."
Urgot seemed to lean closer, by whatever little motor control he still possessed.
"There are those who endure and those who do not. No one deserves strength. No one deserves pain. No one deserves anything. There is only the endurance of existence, and those who survive it.
Vi swallowed back her gorge again and said, She took everything from you, everything.
Camille Pharos only takes,
Rogat replied with something like amusement in his voice.
But she did not take everything. She cannot take my pain, and so she cannot truly take my strength.
Why is she even keeping you alive? Vi asked hollowly.
Because she hates me.
Well, it was hard to argue with that. Camille hated Zahn in a way that was impossible to describe. But if Vi were to say, she would just describe the state she had found her got in. The dreadnought of Zahn was responsible for many horrible things, but this was beyond the pale.
Do not look at me with those pitying eyes, weakling.
Urgot sneered.
I have endured pain like you cannot imagine, and my time is ended. I have no illusions. I will die in this tomb. But at least I can say that I will die without regrets.
Vi laughed bitterly. What happened to engulfing Piltover and Zahn in the fires of whatever? What happened to your batshit fucking plans? Did you finally give up?
No.
Urgot rasped.
I will die without regret because I have seen the apex. I witnessed the pinnacle of agony and strength born in front of me, and I am satisfied.
The way his pale, scarred face crinkled made Vi's gut clenched as she realized he was smiling. What are you talking about? Vi asked quietly as she stepped back. What apex?
I will make you a deal, Violet of the Lanes,
Urgot said with a glutinous chuckle.
End my life, and before I die, I will tell you what I saw and the secret that not even Camille has managed to wrest from my flesh yet.
There was no hesitation. There couldn't be any hesitation. Every bone in Vi's body was rebelling at what had been done to Urgot. Once upon a time, she had truly thought that she hated him. He had done so many terrible things to good and impressionable people. He had corrupted young Zahnites and dragged them down to their deaths, and all in pursuit of his hellish ideals of strength and pain. Vi had thought she hated him. But seeing him as Camille had left him, she understood that her hatred was a small, petty thing by comparison. She wasn't capable of that kind of hate. Now all she felt was pity. Fine, Vi said. Deal.
The console there,
he nodded to his side,
controls my life support system.
How do I turn it off? Vi asked as she approached the console.
You don't. There is no function for that, but there is a function to ignite the suspension fluid around me. It's a kill switch, in case I were ever to be rescued.
Vi hesitated over the console, and her nausea came back full force as she looked up at Urgot in disbelief. How do you know that?
Because Camille informed me of it, so I wouldn't get any bright ideas, as she put it.
Urgot replied blithely. Then added,
She doesn't understand me very well.
Yeah. Vi looked over the console and, to her disgust, found the switch he was talking about. It wasn't hidden or locked. There was a latch cover over it to prevent accidentally setting it off, but nothing else. It was as if Camille expected to have to use it, or was looking forward to it. Turning back to him, Vi flipped the latch on the button and hovered her hand over it. All right, big man. Spill it. Urgot's chuckles turned especially ugly as he said,
She devised a certain chemical cocktail from my blood and implants and used it to reinforce her soldiers, to give them the strength to endure the pain of augmentation. But it is not what she thinks it is. That serum was not just inflicted upon us to boost our strength, numb our agonies, and allow us to work longer while sleeping less. It was also a chain around our necks and a knife at our throats, you see. The mixture is laced with fine particulates of a certain gemstone which amplifies its effects, but also happens to react violently to specific frequencies.
Vi paled as she rasped out, "You're fucking with me. They injected you with tunnel crack?"
"It was similar to the explosive suspension, but more diffused. The inherent properties of the gemstones are catalyzed with the chemicals to produce potent enhancements,"
he explained.
"The explosive side effect was more of an afterthought. But the Overseers made use of that, too, as they did everything else."
Listening to him, Vi could understand how the weak or desperate could fall prey to his words. Despite his appearance, he was surprisingly articulate. And more than that, he had endured the worst of Piltover's abuses and Zahn's poisons. That earned him respect. And his way of phrasing and oration made him easy to listen to. That combination was a dangerous thing for a man as evil as Urquhart.
"If we rebelled, they would project the frequency over the mine's address system, and we would all begin to die as our blood ruptures in our veins,"
Urquhart said darkly.
"And Camille has now unknowingly pumped that same solution into every single one of her toy soldiers."
Vi shook her head, then swallowed thickly before asking, "How? How could she not know?"
"Why would she know?"
Urquhart countered.
"Piltover turned a very purposeful blind eye to those mines in particular. They did not want to know the abuses that happened there. They cared only that their quotas were being met. The neat and grit of controlling the prisoners was beneath them."
More chuckling burbled through the connection.
"Besides, Camille has nothing but contempt for Chemtech. It is a very small and very rare blind spot, Miss Violet."
A blind spot that if they were lucky they might be able to exploit. Vi's mind reeled at the extent that Camille had gone to in order to create her horror show soldiers. Blackguards were a product of cutting-edge Hextech and a century-old Chemtech, a technology that had been old before Camille herself was even born. That was why she had stolen Urquhart from his prison and taken him apart. She had needed to know how he had survived the almost full-body conversion, considering his implants were many times cruder than the ones she was using. It also meant that Camille had augmented her soldiers beyond even her own extent, leaving Vi with the uncomfortable realization that, at least physically speaking, Camille was actually more human than both Ren and the Blackguards. "What about that other thing you mentioned?" Vi said as she laid her palm on the kill switch. "The pinnacle of agony or whatever."
"Ah, yes,"
Urquhart said almost dreamily.
"She endured such agonies and acquired such strength. And when she rose from the slab, I glimpsed her eyes. And that was when I knew my work was done."
Vi shook her head, then snapped. "What work? What the fuck are you talking about?"
"I saw madness in her eyes when she rose, and I saw such strength as you cannot imagine, and I knew in that moment that girl with the red hair would burn everything around her,"
Urquhart explained. "Red hair. Ren." In a voice that sounded like a smile, Urquhart said.
"I never imagined I would have a daughter. But she was born of my strength, my implants, and my agony. And so I suppose I feel some paternal pride in the apocalypse that she will bring forth. Ah, my daughter, yes. She carries my legacy. And now I can finally rest."
He turned in his tube and as much as he could to look at Vi.
"Do as you promised."
Baring her teeth in a snarl, Vi said, "You're a son of a bitch, Urquhart, you know that."
"I'll tell your mother you said so when I see her,"
Urquhart sneered. And Vi hit the button. There was a snapping sound, almost like a small mechanical lighter being flicked, and the tube in which Urquhart's ruined body was floating ignited in chemical flame. He thrashed, and for a moment Vi thought he was screaming. He wasn't, though. Of course he wasn't. No, he was laughing.
Tell your detective wife that I will be watching from beyond. Tell her that I will watch these cities burn in their crucible.
His voice became a nightmarish mechanical distortion at the end as the machinery that allowed him to breathe and speak melted and distorted with heat. Turning away from the grim conflagration, Vi left the room, leaving Urquhart to burn and die alone. Her mind was whirling with the new information that had been laid before her. She returned to where she had stashed the body of the guard along with her clothes, changed out of the stolen armor, and slunk back into the tunnels. Her tunnel rat sense was more than a match for the labyrinthine levels of the Emporium, and she slipped past the counter-patrols to ascend into the upper floors, where the air finally stopped tasting like burnt blood. With her mask on and her hood up, Vi moved back up through the empty display floors, keeping to the shadows all the way to the roof where she made her escape. Between the plague, the myriad entrances to Zaun, and the constant fighting, there had been a lot fewer guards in that complex than she had been expecting. They must be stretched thinner than Camille was willing to admit. That also explained why she was pushing Caitlin so hard. That bare-bones facility and the desperation in Marshal Cythria's voice told the ugly truth that the rest of the city could never be allowed to know. Piltover was losing. Camille had to know it, and that's what really scared Vi. There was no telling what that woman would do if she was put on the back heel. She had no conscience, no better angels to listen to, and a mechanical gemstone instead of a heart. Vi could feel it in her bones that things were about to get weirder and worse for her wife's beloved city. By the time Vi got back to Kiriman House, her legs were burning, and sweat was coating her whole body. She never left the shadows, always moving in the darkness and entering through a side window that Caitlin had left unlatched and cracked for just that purpose. They had planned everything out, and with the operation done, they could move on. But move on where? Shit, Vi muttered as she closed the window behind her and slumped down to the floor beneath it. Shit! She slammed a fist against the wall. Camille had committed horrors that even Vi could hardly imagine. And even killing Urquhart had been more of a matter of pragmatism than anything else. It had been a mercy, yes, but it had also been necessary. There was no way that Vi could have trusted him not to talk. But his revelations had been grimmer than anything Vi had thought she would learn. The blaggers were made using a combination of hextech and old penal mine chemtech. And now she had a hint of a weakness, but... Racking coughing interrupted Vi's train of thought, and she snapped her head up as panic shot through her. Exhaustion all but forgotten, she sprinted through the hall to their bedroom, shouldered the cracked door fully open, and came to a stop on the threshold. Caitlin was lying on the floor next to her desk chair, which was tipped onto its side of the floor. Her complexion was pale, and there were deep shadows under her eyes that screamed of terrible sickness. No, Vi muttered as she pulled her mask out and clicked it back on. Kate? She took a few steps forward and dropped to her knees beside Caitlin, gathering her wife up in her arms. Cupcake? Please talk to me. Her eyes fluttered open, though they were glazed with exhaustion and weariness. Violet. What happened? You were fine this morning, Vi sobbed. The plague hits quick, you know that? Caitlin rasped. You need to get away from me. You need to go. Vi shook her head. Oh, fuck that. We're going to the medical spire. If I gotta carry you on my back the whole god's damned way. You get sick, Caitlin sobbed. I can't lose you, Vi. Then I'll get sick and I'll beat it. Vi said with a forced smile as she picked Caitlin up in her arms. I'm the last daughter of the Lanes, remember? We got shit down there you topsiders ain't ever heard of. please. Not a chance, Cupcake. Thaya said as she carried her wife out of their bedroom. We're in this together, remember? One way or the other.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.